All right, so for those of you that are taking notes, here's what I'm going to give you, and you can follow along. All right, pay attention. I'm going to give you four things you need to know about lead team. Four essential things you need to know about lead team. Then I'm going to give you four questions you need to ask yourself before joining lead team. So you are going to have to ask and answer four questions before you actually join this thing. And then lastly, I'm going to give you four next steps that you need to do in order to join lead team. So four things you need to know, four questions you need to answer, and four steps that you would need to take if you want to join lead team. All right, so here is the first thing you need to know. Four things you need to know. Number one is this. You need to know that we are on a mission. And when I say we are on a mission, I am not just talking about lead team being on a mission. We are on a mission. I'm talking about Watermark Community Church in Dallas, Texas. We are on a mission. And specifically, the high school ministry at Watermark Community Church is on a mission. You got to understand, this isn't just a program to entertain teenagers and to help you guys have fun. We believe we have a mission given to us from God, and we are getting after it. Let me describe to you what our mission is. Here's what our mission is. If you've never heard it, you're going to hear this again and again this year, as often as you're involved with us. Our mission is to be a group where every student is known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. And here's what this means, is that every single student that has the potential to show up at small group, to show up at Shoreline, to go on a hideaway retreat, to participate in D-Town, every single student that has that potential. So I would draw a 20-mile radius around this place and say that every one of the tens of thousands of teenagers in that radius fits this description of every student. We want those people to have a place where they can really be known and accepted. We want this to be that kind of place for you, where you can be the real you. All of your insecurities, all of your fears, all of your mistakes, all of your secrets can be out in the open, and you can truly be known. Because it's only when we're fully known that we're able to experience being fully loved. And so in that knowing, we want this to be a place where every student can find a place where they can be accepted. They can find the courage to be fully known, and then they can find the love of God's people to fully accept them. And we are on that mission here. You need to know we're on a mission. But we don't just want to know people and accept them and be like, hey, you do you, and everyone's welcome here. We also want to extend people the truth and the good news that we have discovered in Jesus Christ. So we want to teach people about Jesus. We want every single student to come here and to go, man, I've never been loved like I've been loved here. I've never been cared for. I've never experienced the hospitality and the kindness and the generosity and the friendliness that I experience when I go to that small group, when I go to that Shoreline, when I go to that retreat, when I go to that D-Town. It's amazing because I really do feel loved and accepted. But then we tell them the source of that love and acceptance. We always want to have this message on our lips. This is part of our mission, that there is a God. And that there is such a thing as sin, and that we have fallen short of God's standard, that we all like sheep have wandered away from him, and yet he has continued to pursue us, and there is such a thing as salvation and redemption that is found in the name of Jesus Christ. And we want to proclaim Christ and who he is and how we can come into a renewed and restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We want to tell people that there is not only this world and this life to live for, but there is an eternity that we were made for, and God has set eternity in our hearts. We know deep inside of us that we're made for something more, and we're on a mission to proclaim that message to the world. And we want every student to find that they can be known, that they can be accepted and loved here, but then we want to teach them about Jesus, about what they were created for. We want to teach them about God's love and his plan for their life. And that leads me to the last part of our mission, is that we want every student to be challenged to grow. Guys, healthy things grow. And so if you're a healthy person, you are going to grow. At the end of this school year, you should be a different person than you were at the beginning of the school year. Your friends should look at you and go, man, this year you have changed. I have seen more love in you. I've seen more joy. I've seen more peace in your life. You seem to be more patient. You seem to be more kind and more gentle. You seem to have more self-control. that we are becoming increasingly like Christ. And so we want to be this place where we don't just have this message of, hey, all are welcome, all are accepted, all are loved, and God loves you and Jesus loves you and you can have fire insurance for all of eternity and then stop there. No, we want to say, hey, we believe God created you in his image for a purpose on this earth, and we're going to challenge you to embrace that image. And we're going to challenge you to embrace that purpose. And that is going to happen consistently at Shoreline. That's going to happen at small groups. That's going to happen at all of the events that we do. So we are on a mission. You need to know that. This place is moving. And this brings me to the second thing you need to know, which is this, is that missions require missionaries. You see, a mission is nothing if there aren't people carrying out the mission. You see, that mission is awesome, that every student in Dallas would be known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. But we would not cover any ground in that mission if it was just me and Jermaine and Cassie and Neil and Emma, the people who are employed as staff at the church, as youth ministers, trying to make this mission happen. I have always believed this, and you're going to hear me say this again and again, but this is specific to Lead Team. We really believe this is true at Watermark, and we believe this about you, that the best missionaries to high school students are other high school students. All right, let's think about Highland Park High School. I could go to Highland Park High School every single Tuesday afternoon, and I could sit there through every lunch period, and I could sit down at a table with a bunch of high school kids I don't know, because I'm a youth pastor. I can get in there. I can get a name tag. I can go sit down, and I can say, man, tell me about yourself. I want to know you and accept you. Do you have a faith? Have you heard about Jesus Christ? I could do that every single Tuesday. And you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be creepy. I'm going to be questionable. I'm going to be weird, and I'm going to be awkward. Because I'm a strange adult. People, I'm going to be the guy that when I leave, they're going to be like, why does that guy keep coming and keep trying to ask me questions about myself? Why is he interrogating me? I met a new student just last year, and I started asking him questions. He goes, why are you asking me so many questions? And he was like totally weirded out. I was just trying to help him feel known and accepted. But it doesn't work as well when it's me. But you know when it works really well? When it's you. And you're engaging with people that you went to elementary school with, that you went to junior high with, that you played sports with, that you've had sleepover at your house, that you've gone on trips with, that you sit at that lunch table with every single day, and they see the way you act in the halls and in the classroom and in the locker room and on the field. The missions require missionaries, and you are the best missionaries to your peers. And so you need to know that Lead Team is all about raising up missionaries. You see, at our church, Watermark Student Ministries, we do not just want to be a ministry to high school students. We want to do that. We want to minister to you. We want to teach you God's word. We want to care for you when you're hurting. We want to guide you in the path that you should take. But we don't want to stop there and just be a ministry to students. We really believe that God wants to create and raise up a ministry of high school students. So this mission requires missionaries, and we want you to be a part of it. So let me just break down the mission and kind of show you where I'm getting this from God's word. This isn't just what I'm excited about, but these are truths that have informed us. And so I want to lead you to a couple places, and you can jot down the references, look them up, underline them later. Romans 15:7 calls us to do this. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given the glory. You see, we believe that if every student is going to be known and accepted, you have to know and accept your peers. If you're going to be a missionary, you have got to be all about accepting others. So here's what this means. That girl in your school that's mean to everybody and mean to you, you've got to accept that person. You've got to know them and accept them. You've got to realize, man, if they're hurting people, they must be a hurt person, because hurt people hurt people. And so I'm going to have all of the compassion and the acceptance and the grace that Christ had for me, so that God will be glorified in my life. That kid that's weird, that's always awkward, that's kind of bugging you, the kid that always says the wrong thing, that person is known and accepted. The person that's really popular at your school and that you don't ever talk to, you know them and you accept them. you accept each other just as Christ has accepted you so that God will be given the glory. And let's talk about every student being taught about Jesus. All right, this is one I think you guys go, okay, I think I can do that. But the next one I think is harder for you to feel like part of your mission and your call in your life is to actually teach people about Jesus. But I want to show you a passage of scripture that was written to a teenager. You see, Paul recruited Timothy when he was just a teenager to be a disciple and to be a leader in the church. And here are Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. And these are, I believe, God's words to you. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, to do this. Preach the word of God. You are called to preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people. You see, God has placed you in your families, in your friend groups, in your schools, on your teams for a reason and for a purpose. Those are your people. They're not mine. With good teaching. And so you should know God's word and be prepared to preach the word of God. This passage goes on and it says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Isn't that true about the United States of America in 2018? They will follow their own desires and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. This is what your generation is doing. But Paul goes on to Timothy and he says, you should keep a clear mind in every situation, whether it's first period, third period, fifth period, practice, or 11 p.m. at night, and don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling your youth pastor to tell other people the good news. That's not what it says. It's a call to you. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given. Your small group leader? No. Your youth pastor? No. The senior pastor? No. God has given a ministry to you. You see, we are on a mission here, and missions require missionaries. And that's what lead team is. You need to know this about lead team. The last part of the mission is that people be challenged to grow. And this comes from Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. We should think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. We should sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. And we should always be motivating others towards love and good works. We should not give up meeting together as some people do, but we should encourage one another, especially now that the day of Christ's return is drawing near. The third thing you need to know about lead team. The first one is this. We're on a mission. The second thing is this. Missions require missionaries. But the third thing is this. Missionaries require encouragement and equipping. So that's what we're doing here is you're going, man, David, that seems like a tall order that you're calling me to be a missionary in every part of my life, that I would know and accept everyone, that I would teach people about Jesus, that I would actually challenge them to grow, that I have a ministry. I'm not sure I can do that. Great. That's what lead team is for. Missionaries require encouragement and equipping. So we want to encourage you and equip you. Matthew chapter 4 is Jesus called the first disciples, his first followers. Here's what he said, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. He didn't say, come follow me and go fish for people. He said, I will show you how. And that's what we want to do for you. We have got a fantastic team this year of 14 adult facilitators that are helping out all these different school groups here at Lead Team. And we want to show you how to be missionaries on this mission. Ephesians 4 says it this way. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church. There's apostles and prophets and evangelists and the pastors and teachers. So that would be like me and Jermaine and Cassie and others that are on staff. And our responsibility is this, to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. You see, our job is to equip you, the people of God, to do God's work. You have a mission. You are a missionary. And our job is to encourage you and to equip you. That's the third thing, is that missionaries require encouragement and equipping. The fourth thing you need to know about lead team is this. Accountability is for people who want to count. All right, God's word sets a high bar for spiritual leadership. A high bar. And we are not going to compromise this standard simply because you're young. So if you want to be a leader, here's what you should expect. Greater accountability. I want to show you just one passage from God's word that addresses spiritual leaders, because that is what lead team is you are saying, I want to be a missionary. I want to be a leader of others. And so look at what Titus 1:7-9 says. A church leader is a manager of God's household. So he must live a blameless life. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent, or dishonest with money. Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home. He must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. And then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they're wrong. A church leader must not be a new believer, because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. That is a high standard. And so if you want to be a leader, you're going to count in God's household. You've got to be held accountable to this standard. And so there is a level of accountability when you join lead team and you want to say, hey, I believe in the mission of this church, and I believe the mission requires missionaries, and I want to be encouraged and equipped, but also you have to be willing to say, I want to be held accountable to the standard of spiritual leadership. And so I'm going to be here. I'm going to be eyeball to eyeball with the adults, and I'm going to engage in the discussions. I'm going to have my small group leaders know that I'm on lead team, and they're going to hold me accountable. My friends in small group and others in lead team are going to hold me accountable to being a spiritual leader who does not compromise who God says we should be. Here's another passage that addresses it. 1 Timothy 3:6-10. Says this: in the same way, deacons, which is another word for church leaders, must be well-respected and have integrity. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. Before they are appointed as deacons, as spiritual leaders, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. So we have two levels of accountability here with lead team. Lead team accountability takes two forms. One is the accountability of church membership, and two is the accountability of participation. So these are two ways that we call you to this high standard of spiritual leadership. One is to participate in lead team. To be a lead team member, you have to first be a member of Watermark Community Church. You have to understand what we believe. You have to understand the truths of God's word that this church is built on and that we stand on. And then you have to be prepared to communicate, teach, and embody those things to others. So that is step one, is the accountability of church membership, that we all start on the same page of belief. And then number two is the accountability of participation. So everybody checked in here tonight. You'll check in every time we have lead team, and we expect you, if you're going to join this team, to commit to it in the exact same way that if you were to join a volleyball team or a soccer team or a football team or a dance team or any other team, that the coach is going to expect you and hold you accountable to participate in practices and games. You all understand this. If you join this team, we called it a team on purpose, so it would be relatable and you would understand, we expect you to be at practice. Because if you're out there on mission, we want to make sure you're equipped and encouraged. And so we're going to hold you accountable to participating. And if you cannot participate, we'll ask you to resign, and then you can rejoin anytime you're ready to count and be held accountable. Okay, so we have two levels of accountability. Joining church membership is required before you even start lead team, and then the accountability of participation. So let me summarize these four things you need to know about lead team. We are on a mission that every student in Dallas will be known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. And missions require missionaries, and we believe God has called you to be those missionaries. But missionaries require encouragement and equipping, and then accountability is for people who want to count. So I told you I would tell you four things you have to know about lead team. Now I'm going to tell you four questions you should ask yourself before joining lead team. And they're all up on the screen. Here they are. Should I join lead team? Number one, you got to ask yourself, do I believe in the mission of Watermark's high school ministry? Do I believe that is a worthwhile mission that my peers should be known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow? Is that what I want my life to be about? If you answer yes to that question, move on to the next question. Is God stirring my heart to be a missionary in his kingdom? Because guys, you can't argue with the fact that missions require missionaries. So we've got to have some missionaries to keep this mission going. And honestly, we're okay if at the end of the day, like 200 of you walk out of here and 12 of you stay in here and you say, we want to be missionaries. We're okay with the mission shrinking. And we know the mission's going to shrink, but the mission's going to keep going. We're not just going to keep playing church and trying to get people to come in the room. So is God stirring your heart to be one of those missionaries? You need to pray about it. You need to talk to your parents about it. Talk to your friends about it and make a decision. The third question you should ask yourself is, do I recognize my need for encouragement and equipping? Because here's what we don't want as missionaries on this mission is prideful people who think they have it all figured out and can do this on their own. We want humble people that are going to come in here every Sunday night we have lead team with their Bibles, with their journals, with their pens, ready to learn, ready to be encouraged, ready to be equipped, and ready to grow. So do you recognize your need for encouragement and equipping? You should feel overwhelmed by the task of this mission and need all of the encouragement and all of the equipping you can get. So if you answer yes to that, go on to the fourth one. Am I willing to be held accountable to the high standards of spiritual leadership? Reading passages like those from Titus and from Timothy, are you willing to be held accountable and challenged and sharpened to those standards? The accountability of church membership, the accountability of participation. So after thinking about this and praying about this, and if you can answer yes to all four of these questions, here are your next steps. And this is where we're going to wrap up and land the plane. These are four next steps if you're ready to join lead team. And everybody pay close attention to these if this is something you want to participate in this year. Number one, you have to first complete the Watermark membership process. Many of you, raise your hand if you're already a member of Watermark. All right, great. Many of you are. So I didn't give everybody this. If you are not a member, you can come pick this up on the stage before you leave. But I have this handy dandy membership checklist, and it shows you everything you need to do. Stay with me, guys, to be a member. At the bottom of this, it tells you all the dates for the membership classes this fall. All right. So if you're not yet a member, we want to do everything we can to help you become a member. But at some point, you've got to take ownership of that process. So number one, do that. Number two, everyone pay attention. You have to do this. You have to go online to moreshoreline.com, click lead team, and you have to fill out the lead team application. This is a new application this year. So if you were on lead team last year, you're starting from scratch. The direct link is right there. It's watermark.formstack.com/form/lead_team_application. Everyone's got to fill out application. So if you know you want to do it tonight. Part of that application, listen to me, people, it requires at least one recommendation from a small group leader. So you've already got to be a member at Watermark, which means you have to be in a small group at Watermark. And this is an update where your small group leader is going to be sent a recommendation form, and they're going to be asked questions like, is this person a leader in my small group? Or do I see leadership potential and qualities in them? Do they participate consistently in small group? Is there any reason why they should not be a leader in Watermark Student Ministries? So we are upping the level of accountability between you and your small group leader this year. And there will be ongoing communication between them on how you are doing at living out the mission in your small group, which, by the way, is the easiest place to be a missionary. And so if you're not being a missionary in your small group, we are going to assume that you're not being a missionary in the other spheres of influence in your life, all right? So number two, you got to complete the application. Now, once you've completed the application, you don't have to wait. You can move on to number three, review the lead team letter and covenant with a parent. So you have that in your hand. That was one of the handouts that you received as you came in. So review that letter and covenant, and then you're going to sign and submit the covenant this year, not a hard copy, but you're going to go online and do it. The link is at the bottom of the covenant. So no more scanning it, no more taking pictures, no more bringing it back to lead team. It is an online form that can be signed online by both you and a parent. All right? I will also text you the link. And that leads me to step four. If you're pretty sure you want to do this, sign up for text reminders. Here's how you do it. The number you're texting is 81010. All the message says is at Lead Team 19. All right, so you're putting in the message at Lead Team 19, sending it to the number 81010. All right, so those are your next steps if you want to join Lead Team.